We are continuing our sermon series, A Biblical View of Fatherhood Applied to Modern Day. Today's message is entitled, Fathers as Warriors. Please turn in your hymnals to in your Bibles to page 614. If you're using the large print, it's on page 968. And while you're turning that, I'm going to bring the whiteboard over. Okay. So today's scripture is only 5 verses long. It's unusual for me to only preach from 5 verses, but trust me, I'll throw in a few others here and there. Fathers as Warriors, Psalm 127, a song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing Lord, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning to you void. Lord, we pray God the Holy Spirit to work, prepare our minds, our hearts, for what you desire to reveal. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I ask you today, are you a warrior or a warrior? Right? A warrior or a warrior? Jesus is very clear that we are not to worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Or about your body, or what you will wear. Isn't our life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Today, I will argue that we are to be warriors. Especially men, and especially fathers. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Other translations say violently advancing, and violent men lay hold of it. Now that word makes us a little uncomfortable today, right? The NIV says forceful. The idea here is that they're, well, let me give you the contrast. See if you know which verse this comes from. The kingdom of heaven is open to passive, wimpy men who enter it by lying on the couch watching TV.
Amen.
Right? That's not the way it is. So that was a quote from John Eldred's book, Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secret of a Man's Soul. I'll be using many quotes from that book throughout this message. This is an excellent book for a men's Bible study and it has a companion 3 DVD set. And if you're interested, I would be glad to lead a Bible study using those resources. For what should a father go to war? Be a warrior. Well, the whole of scripture is about the kingdom of God overcoming the prince of darkness and his evil cohorts. But we will limit ourselves, our argument today, to the elements given in these 5 verses from Psalm 127. We are to battle for our homes. We are to battle for our communities or cities. We are to battle for our families, our wife, and children. And as I established the first week of the sermon series, the father is the leader of the home. Marriage is a stunning picture of what God offers his people. Scripture tells us it is a living metaphor, a walking parable, a Rembrandt painting of the gospel. The enemy knows this, and he hates it with every ounce of his malicious heart. He has no intention of just letting that beautiful portrait be lived out before the world with such deep appeal that no one can resist God's offer. So, just like in the garden, Satan comes in to divide and conquer. The condition of the family is a barometer for society. As the family structure crumbles, so does the moral fabric of the culture. Contrast that with 1 Peter chapter 2, which we often use in our call to worship, which we use today. And as you listen to it, I want you to imagine our families if we live out our Christian faith in all its fullness according to this scripture. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise be to God that the Lord of hosts leads us into battle, and the victory is his. Exodus 15, verse 3. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Our heavenly Father is a warrior. Isaiah 42, verse 13. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. We must join the battle. We're supposed to sing Jacob's Ladder, aren't we? Let's sing it now. Okay. Please turn in your hymnals. Please rise if you're able and turn in your hymnals to number 418. Jacob's Ladder. We will climb Jacob's Ladder, number 418. All right, soldiers, you can be seated. We must join the battle. Now, we just said 5 consecutive verses that we are soldiers of the cross. Under our own power and resources, we would be ill-equipped for the confrontation with the enemy, but we have been empowered by God. This is Romans 8, verses 9 to 11, the Message paraphrase. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. We have been empowered by God the Holy Spirit living within us. Tom St. Kempis says, if we would endeavor, like men of courage, to stand in the battle surely we would feel the favorable assistance of God from heaven. For he who giveth us occasions to fight to the end that we may get victory is ready to succor those that fight manfully and do trust in his grace. Now, in our first verse today, the house not only refers to the structure where the family lives, it refers to the family itself. When David wanted to build a house for God, the Lord said, no, I will build your house. The Lord is referring to later generations, to David's dynasty, his legacy, his kingdom. And do not miss that there is work for the builders too. Surely you have heard it said that God will not do what we can do, but he can do what we cannot do. It is a partnership with the Almighty carrying the lion's share of the load. Why does a city need a watchman? There's a threat against it. This psalm is a song of ascent. It would have been sung as the priests walked up the hill to the temple. Jerusalem, then, is most likely, almost guaranteed, the city that Solomon had in mind. It was heavily fortified with large, seamless walls to surround and protect the people. There would have been a constant guard on the walls and the gates, yet in 587 BC, the Babylonians conquered the city. Those that were not killed were carried off away into exile. This is what the prophets foretold would happen because Israel failed to repent and turn back to the Lord. Then again, in 70 AD, just as Jesus predicted, Jerusalem was utterly and completely destroyed. When people abandon God, there will be dire consequences. God withdrew his protection. Does that apply to today? I think we can see it all around us. Fathers, what are you guarding your families from? Many of our homes have locks and fences, security systems with motion sensors and alarm systems, lights. They're connected to monitoring companies. Maybe we have a dog or a gun to protect our homes. Certainly, physical protection of our loved ones is important. How are we addressing spiritual protection? Preacher Adrian Rogers gives a list of how to fight for our homes. And I will just list them, give them to you as a list. Be glad to talk to you about them afterwards. Lead your children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, I have to say something about that. The idea of, well, we'll just let them decide when they get old enough to figure it out by themselves. It's an absurdity. And I'll be glad to explain it to you over coffee. Help your children to discern true values. Teach your children the principles of purity. Cover your children with prayer. Make a family covenant. Memorize scriptures and teach them to memorize scripture. Create the right atmosphere in your home. Welcome and joy. Remove temptations. Teach your daughters to dress modestly. Well, that's pretty old-fashioned, isn't it? Don't they want to be attractive? What are they trying to attract? Learn to counterattack. From a very early age, start instilling in children the fact that they are different, that your family is different than the rest of society. We live under the authority of God Almighty, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Popularity is not to be pursued. Jesus says, but seek ye first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Verse 2 speaks about the futility of working ourselves to death. Working all day and half the night is futile if we are living outside the love of God. Well, you're like, wait a second. Common mantra today is that God loves everyone. Well, which is true in a certain sense. This verse then must be speaking about relationship, for love is a relationship. Those in relationship with the Lord will be rested and restored and fit for labor. That's why they'll be able to sleep, right? Now, some work so hard because they feel they have no choice. Others work for money and possessions. Some work for prestige or power. Sometimes men work long hours because they find working easier than being a dad or a husband. The special music today, Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, was specifically chosen to demonstrate the lesson of misplaced priorities. The father was a successful businessman who traveled a lot and was too busy for his son even when he was at home. As the son got older, he became too busy for his father. "What I'd really like to do, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?" And the song concludes with the father's realization. "And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me." This is reality. In this case, it is a sad reality. But it doesn't have to be. It should be a celebration. Your son is just like you. Wow. Verses 3-5 make it crystal clear that children are a gift of God. A few weeks ago, the Supreme Court's pending decision to overturn Roe versus Wade was leaked. Since then, there's been an uproar by abortion advocates. Truly, I cannot comprehend their position. These verses and many others undeniably say that a child is conceived through God's blessing. I only had a vague idea what it meant that sons are a heritage. So I looked it up. I looked up the word heritage. Property that is or may be inherited in inheritance. Valued objects and qualities such as cultural traditions, unspoiled countryside, historic buildings that have been passed down from previous generations. Denoting a traditional brand or product regarded as emblematic of fine craftsmanship. Isn't that what we want our sons and daughters to be? Fine craftsmanship. A special or individual possession, an allotted portion. Christians, or the ancient Israelites, seen as God's chosen people. That's what a heritage is. Solomon says that having many sons when you are young are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Fathers, you are that warrior. A large family is able to help each other, right? The farm or family business can prosper when everyone comes together. Of course, remember the central issue: the Lord must build the house. There will be enemies and adversaries in the human realm and in the spiritual realm. The reference "in the gate" refers to a place of commerce. It also refers to a place where legal issues were debated and settled at the gates of the city, right? And of course, the gates are the access point to the city that the Lord watches over against all enemies. Yes, my friend, C.S. Lewis was correct when he said, "Enemy occupied territory." That is what this world is. Enemy occupied territory. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we are not unaware of Satan's schemes. Proverbs 4:23 says that we should guard our hearts above all else, for it is the wellspring of life. And James says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We dare not take on any angel, let alone a fallen one, in our own strength. That is why Christ extends his authority to us. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and every authority. Colossians 2:10, "Rebuke the enemy in your own name and he laughs. Command him in the name of Christ and he flees." Don't even try to take the masculine journey without at least one man by your side. Someone to fight alongside, someone to watch your back. Now, one of my favorite movies is that classic Western Shane. Have you seen Shane, right? I love the scene where Shane and his friend are in the saloon, standing back to back and fighting the bad guys. That's the idea, right? Protecting each other, having each other's back. How do we prepare for battle? Against the flesh, the traitor within us, those things and pathways that the enemy tries to exploit, a warrior uses discipline. We have a two-dimensional version of this now, which we call quiet time, devotional time. But most men have a hard time sustaining any sort of devotional life. Why? Because it doesn't seem to have any vital connection to recovering and protecting their strength. It feels about as important to them as flossing their teeth. But if you saw your life as a great battle and you knew that you needed time with God for your very survival, you would do it. Brothers in arms, do not forget, it is critical to put on the armor of God. You will find it described in Ephesians 6, starting in the 10th verse. And as always, all the scriptures, the sermon will be on the website. You can look up all the scriptures yourself. Now, let us hear from one of the greatest warriors our nation has ever produced. While General Douglas MacArthur was stationed in Australia and acting as Supreme Commander of Allied Forces in the Southwest Pacific area, he penned this prayer for his only son, Arthur. Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wishes will not take the place of deeds. A son who will know thee, and that to know himself is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here let him learn compassion for those who fall. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men. One who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor so that he may always be serious, but never take himself too seriously. Give him humility, so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, and the weakness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. Amen. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. The big lie in the church today is that you are nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. You are a lot more than that. You are a new creation in Christ. The New Testament calls you a saint, a holy one, a son of God. And the core of your being, you are a good person. And you are called to be a warrior. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Most precious Lord, when we read the Holy Scriptures from beginning to end, they are filled with conflict, one after the other, a tapestry of conflict between good and evil. In this physical world and in the spiritual world, there is a cosmic clash. So we should not be surprised. And surely, Lord, this is why you tell us over and over again, do not fear. To stand firm. Lord, but we know we do not battle like the rest of the world. Let us honor you for the gifts you've given us. Let us use them to bless our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and our cities, our region. And the victory is assured, for we have read your final chapter. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.